Yeah, so this morning we'll be looking at Psalm 127, and the title of my sermon is Unless the Lord, or if you like, Unless Yahweh Builds the House. Okay, that's the title of my sermon. We've been working through the series in the book of Psalms, Worship and Faith on the Road to God. Pilgrim Psalms, there are about 14 of them, starting from Psalm 120 up to Psalm 134. We've been enjoying them because we are all pilgrims. We are all in a journey, to understand more about Jesus, on a journey to the Lord. And so these have been so helpful in our journey as a church and as individuals as well. So the theme that I want us to explore this morning as we go through Psalm 127, which has been read by Bernice, is that human effort, in as much as it is good, human effort is good, but is in vain without divine grace. Human effort is in vain without the grace of God. Whatever effort you put in whatever you do, it is in vain without the grace of God. Lasting security and fruitfulness, they actually come only from the Lord who builds, guards, and gives. We want to have lasting security in everything we do. We want to have lasting fruitfulness in everything we do. It only comes from God, because it is God who builds, it is God who guards, and it is actually God who gives success. And this is very important. Now, let me start by asking you this question. This is an important question I want all of us to think about. This is an important question. When effort is not enough, it's good. All of us, you know, we are encouraged to put effort in everything we do, right? In ministry, in the activities we do. But there's always a point where effort is not enough. Your efforts you put in, your ministry and everything you do is not enough. Let me ask you, or ask us this question. Have you ever been in a situation where you pour yourself completely in a project? Whatever project, think about any project. You pour your heart, you pour yourself completely into that project, only for it to crumble after sleepless nights, only for it to crumble after careful planning and relentless efforts. Think about it. You've put a lot of effort into something, into a project, whatever project that might be, you know. And after careful planning of that particular project, and after so many sleepless nights thinking about that same project, and also a lot of energy, but only to see that project crumbling, collapsing, not working. Okay, let me just go into some areas of life. Think of some most ordinary areas of life. Let me highlight three of them. Think about a family. You are a family and you are planning to build a house as a project. You are planning to build a house in Lusaka or in the most expensive area of Lusaka, maybe New Kasama or State Lodge or whatever place that you find. You are planning to build a house. And then you begin to make so many years of planning and saving. Actually, you are putting money aside and saving. And you have detailed plans about that particular project of a building of a house. And very close, actually, supervision of every brick that is going to go into that building project, of every nail that is going to go into that project. You think about it. Or let's turn around. Let's think about a farmer, like we've got farmers around here, those who are into farming. You are a farmer, and then you prepare your field very well. Think about it as a project. And then you plowing early in the morning when everybody is asleep. You wake up sometimes 04 or 03 or somewhere there, depending on where your farm is, you go. You begin to plow as early as possible. And when you begin to plant, you plant carefully. You put all your effort and your careful thoughts into planning. And those of you who are farmers, you already know that there are some pests that may come to destroy your field. You make sure that you guard against pests and loss altogether in your farming. Think about that as a second project, building a house or maybe preparing a food. Or the last one, think about a parent. Some of us, we are parents here. And then you are building your own family. You've got children, whether they are 3, 4, 5, or maybe it's just one child, like the Chifitas. Okay, you only have one child. Okay, and then you begin to labor tirelessly for your child, like the Watsons, tirelessly for Caleb, tirelessly for Theophilus. Or maybe there may be 3 or 4, like our brother Ngoma with Promise. Yeah? You are a parent, and then you are trying by all means to labor so tirelessly for your child. What do? With your children, you know, providing for them. You wake up so early when they are asleep. They don't even know where you get your money to put food on the table. They will just come, Daddy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry. And then you make sure that you provide for them. You make sure that you protect your child or your children. And you make a lot of sacrifices for your child or for your children. Okay. Sometimes even you have time for what we call devotions, right? You sit down with them, prayer meetings and so forth. You make sure that your child is a well-behaved child in a society. Think about it. You put in a lot of efforts. You take your child to church, to school and everything. Yet, still lies awake at night. You know, you are so worried, so anxious what tomorrow might bring. Despite of all these efforts you put in your in the building of your house, or maybe in the farming, or maybe in parenting, okay? But yet you think of what, you are still worried what your future or tomorrow will bring. In each case of these instances I've said, when we talk about effort, the effort you put in is real, right? The effort is real. The labor is very sincere that you put in the work. Even in my ministry, I am the rector of Christ Church Lusaka. At times I don't sleep. At times I sit and work so much on my sermon, and sometimes I begin to overthink, is Brother Zulu going to turn out for church tomorrow? Is Sister so-and-so going to come, and so forth and so on? What should I do? Should I give them a call? Should I put my money aside? We have all those things we think and carefully to make sure that our service on a Sunday is a successful service and everyone comes in. When you see the effort is real, the labor is sincere, even the commitment that we give to each other is unquestionable. And yet, listen to this, despite all of this investment we put in our project, okay, life still feels fragile. Life is very fragile, brothers. Feel fragile? Why? Because we are very much exposed to forces beyond our control. Inasmuch as you are trying to labor to raise your child very well, inasmuch as you are trying by all means to put the savings aside so that you can build your house in a most expensive area, or maybe education, some life, believe you me, is very fragile. Because we've got so much challenges that are beyond our control. So many forces beyond our control. Sometimes it is the collapsing of a market. You know, you have done so much in your field or in your farming, but somewhere with unexpectedly, markets collapses of whatever your crops you actually get. That's beyond your control. Even when you get the products or the produce of whatever you've produced, you take them into market, it has collapsed completely, and then you make a loss. That is beyond your control. Or sometimes is theft, you know, you just go in the morning during the, after you've labored a lot, you know, during the time as you approach time of harvest, you find that Venangwas standees awake. You know, they just come to your farm and then they get whatever you put. Theft. There are people like that. For those who were into building, you may try by all means to supervise your building, but these builders of nowadays, Vama standees awake, you know. They'll get, you know, when they divide into two, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You buy 10 pockets of cement, they would use 5, and then 5 is yours. Basically, people, they cash themselves. You cannot manage to be there all the time. I always tell Susan to say, we just have to believe that we are not omnipresent. They get. And then you find that these are forces beyond our control. Theft, there is drought. Sometimes you can put in a lot, but there's drought that comes. This is a force actually comes beyond our control. Sometimes it is just a rebellious heart of your child or your children. Inasmuch as you're trying to control your children, some people may even condemn and say, you as a parent, how much are you putting in your children? I've tried my level best. I pray for my child. I pray for my children. I sit down every Saturday or every Sunday. I take them through devotion. But she becomes very rebellious. You know, he or she joins a company of people, you begin to wonder, and everybody begins to think, unimwana wabachite. Yes, watakalaki ni wapastor. Yes. Powerful person, expository of the word of God. You begin to think of what is going on. Mwana afunta chapi. Mwine wakia chuzinga njira, mwine afuna kuenda. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm through a Caleb will be able to listen and interpret to the parents. Because that much I know. Yeah. This is very important, brothers and sisters, to think of some forces beyond our control. You know, we live in a world full of all these. You put in a lot of effort and then just collapse altogether. Sometimes is what you call unexpected illness. Just somehow you fall sick. Maybe stroke, maybe it's just a road accident, and you become incapacitated altogether. You cannot do anything. Brothers, it is precisely into this ordinary, hard-working, and anxious world that Psalm 127 speaks. The psalm does not condemn hard work. No. Don't go here and think that this Psalm 127 is against hard work. The Bible teaches that we must be diligent in everything we do. We must be hard-working people. Psalm 127 does not condemn hard work. And it does not even glorify laziness. Because lazy people, if you read the book of Proverbs, you see that they are actually cautioned. Laziness is not actually something that the Bible is condoning. So Psalm 127 is not saying be lazy or do not work hard. No. Instead, it presses a deeper and more searching question. And this is the question Psalm 127 is trying to help us. When you are trying to build, you know, when you are trying your projects, you know, building your future career and so forth and so on, building your family and so forth and so on, the question is, who is ultimately building? That's the question. Who is ultimately building? Is it you or it is God? Who is ultimately guarding? When you are trying by all means to put security in your life and everything, but at the end of the day, ultimately, who is actually the one who is guarding, who is keeping? The question is, who is ultimately providing rest and security? In as much as you try to put rest and security, but ultimately, who is the provider and who is the one who secures? You know, that familiar sinking feeling, the frustration of effort that does not last, captures the central truth of Psalm 127. This is the truth that we get in Psalm 127. Work, work without the Lord is wasted work. Think about it. Work without the Lord is wasted work. Now here, the person who is on a journey, the pilgrim, does not sing about the dangers like what we saw last Sunday. Does not sing about the dangers on the road, because the pilgrim psalms, they tell us about faith and worship on the road to God. This time around is not singing about the dangers we encounter in the road, or maybe the pains of exile, that the first song that we looked at, but about trust in the ordinary responsibilities of life. Let me say it again. That's what we see in Psalm 127. It's talking about trust in the ordinary responsibilities of life. What are these ordinary responsibilities of life? Like building a home, like securing a city, or like earning daily bread, because all of us, we are into that. Or maybe raising children. Parenting can be difficult, can be stressing. Now, the psalm reminds us that life's most normal pursuits, like career, you pursue a home, or maybe protection, or even parenting, you know, they tend to sand, they collapse, they go down when God is not actively involved. In as much as you try to do whatever you want to do, whether it's building your home, whether it's building a society, whether it's building a community, whether it's building a ministry, your own ministry, or whatever you want to do to secure your future. But here's very clear is that whatever we do may collapse, you know, when God is not actively involved. Psalm 127 then is a song of dependence. Depend on something. Within diligence. You work very hard, but you depend on God. You are diligent in whatever you do, your ministry, your home, your career, your future, your parenting and everything, but you depend on God. This is a reminder that grace, and listen to this, it's a reminder that grace notes extreme work, what we call grinding, sustains everything that truly lasts. It's not about working extremely hard to the point where you have no time to rest, you have no time to sleep. It's not about that. Working extremely hard to the point where you get depressed and stressed is not about that. But it's about the grace of God. It's the grace of God that is able to sustain everything that truly lasts. I am a minister. I'm a rector of Christ Church Lusaka. So I am being encouraged to work very hard for the church. But at the end of the day, Psalm 127 is reminding me to say it's not about my extreme work that is going to sustain and some result that will last here. It's not about that. It's the grace of God. Inasmuch as you try to work very hard in whatever field you do, but Psalm 127 gives you a wake-up call, say a slap on your face, it's about God's grace. It's not necessarily about grinding. And this is very comforting, especially for many of us who are worried everything we do. This is the main idea. This is the main idea that we have. Human striving apart from the Lord's blessing is vanity. It's really vanity. Yet in humble dependence of our labor, you know, rests and family life flourish under the providence of God. So Psalm 127 follows naturally after Psalm 126, because Psalm 126, the one we saw last week, celebrates tears turned into joy. But the harvest of God's restoring work. But Psalm 127, now, the one we are looking at this morning, warns us that the future fruitfulness of whatever you want to do must remain God-dependent. The future success of anything you want to embark yourself into must remain God-dependent, not self-made. Joy sustained by grace must not be replaced by confidence in human efforts. And listen to this. Strikingly, after speaking about work, you will see in Psalm 127 here, after speaking about work in the first stanza, for those of you who have got your Bibles open, you will see that the way the song is structured, it has got only two stanzas. The first stanza is from verse 1 up to verse 2, and the second stanza is from 3 to 4. There's a surprise there, because the first stanza is talking more about the work, but suddenly the second stanza now pivots to children. It goes to children. Children are actually a blessing from God. It's a surprise. Some people, when they read, they tend to think maybe there's something missing in between. No, there's nothing missing. It was meant to be like that, to shock us, to surprise us, so that we may not think that success comes from a particular way, but from another way that God has actually prepared himself. Some suddenly pivot to children. This is a surprising move meant to reorder our values and expose where we place our deepest confidence. So brothers and sisters, so how does this psalm teach us to live wisely in the midst of ordinary responsibilities that we have every day? Building our homes, you know, and careers and so forth. The psalm unfolds in two movements, each exposing the vanity of self-reliance and the blessing of trust in the Lord. There are two major points I want us to explore quickly as we go through this wonderful, beautiful Psalm 127. The first one I want us to look at is the vanity of self-reliance. In everything you do, the vanity of relying on yourself. That's verse 1 up to 2. And the second movement tells us the blessing of God's reliance. So we'll go through these two things. First is the vanity of self-reliance. Secondly is the blessing of God's reliance. Let us begin where the psalm begins. It begins with the sobering truth that human efforts, however sincere, Human effort, however sincere, is empty unless the Lord himself is the builder. And this is very important. Let's start with the first one, the vanity of self-reliance. Have a look in your Bibles. You will see that the words, that phrase, unless the Lord builds, is repeated twice in verse 1. Did you see that? Have a look again. You will see that the, unless the Lord builds, is repeated twice. Two times the psalm begins, closes with, unless the Lord builds, unless the Lord watches. Two times. Why two times? It's a strong conditional construction that insists that God is the necessary cause of every lasting outcome. Unfortunately, many societies have decided to build themselves apart from God. God is no longer into the picture. So many children we have nowadays, you know, they've gone to the point where they don't even believe the existence of God. That God is a scam. I've heard so many children in South Africa saying, we've been scammed many years by our children, by our parents. God is an illusion. There's no such a thing as God. Then we can build our society without God. Then I can build my future without God. I don't need religion. I don't need the church. I don't need anything to do with God. This is how many of our children and many of our people in our society have actually gone. Europe has gone that route by removing God into outside of the picture. And yet, two times, the psalmist does not say it once. He repeats, unless God, two times is to tell us that God is the necessary cause of every lasting outcome. When you actually take God out of picture, a society collapses completely. Everything will collapse. Now, I want us to observe two important things here, brothers and sisters. Two things I would like us to observe here. The first thing under this one is the vanity of self-reliance, is the futility of independent labor, as you can see there. Whatever labor, whatever work you do, independently from God, is vanity, is futile. Whatever labor you have, to, whether it's ministry you want to build, whether it is your future, whether it's your dynasty, whether it's your family, you are a parent, you want to build your family, independent from God is vanity. Those of us are involved into ministry, we want to build a ministry, independent from God, it is vanity. Have a look at that in verse 1. You can see that the psalmist gives us three spheres of self-reliance. The first one is house builders, house. Unless the Lord builds a house. The builders, they are working. They are actually laboring in vain. That's the first area of self-reliance, where you rely on yourself, you want to build a house. Now here in Psalm 127, you see the word house. It does not just mean a house as a building. Of course, that's the first application. But it's not just a house. It's something to do with work. It's about labor. Your work is something to do with project. All of us seated here, we've got project. Unless the Lord builds that project you have, whatever project it is, might be, you are laboring in vain. Or maybe a dynasty. You want to build your dynasty, your family, your career. You want to forge your name, the Zulus, the Chifitas, the Kayumbas. You want to build your family like that. So strong. Psalm 127 reminds us, unless the Lord builds, our labor is in vain. It's not just that. Maybe it's a society. We want to build a strong society, wherever we want to be, in Europe, in Africa, in Zambia. The builders of a society, when the moment they decide to take God out of the picture, they sit in parliament. They discuss issues, our politicians, they discuss, and slowly they are taking God out of the picture. The outcome is very clear here, unless the Lord builds. Maybe it's ministry. So the house, the word house here can mean a family, can mean a society, can mean a community or dinners. Just go to societies, especially in the West, where God has already been removed from the picture. And they think they are clever enough they can build anything without God. The second area here we see is that the futility of independent labor is where you invest a lot in terms of trying to look for security. Because this world, security matters. Unless the Lord guards the city. The idea there is that of security. City, watch the watchman watches in vain. Security here, we're talking about security and defense and protection. Unless the Lord watches. So whatever you put in order to secure your life, you think I am now safe. Whatever mechanism or strategies you come up with to make sure that you say, now my ministry is safe. Whatever mechanism you put in place and you say, now my marriage is safe. Apart from God, that area says there's no security that is going to last. You may put in a very powerful wedding ceremony. We've seen a lot of ceremonies in Lusaka where it is a fancy marriage ceremony on a Saturday, and on a Sunday, there's divorce. Huh? Something like that. Or maybe after 2 weeks or so, you hear a lot of stories. And then you begin to wonder, why did I put a lot of money, a lot of effort in this kind of marriage? You think you are secure and you are safe. You want to secure your life by having so many children, which is good. We will see that in the next stanza. And some people may think, by having so many children, now I'm safe. By putting so much in my bank account, and another one is a block account, now I'm safe. Whatever defense or security you wanna put in, Psalm 127 is here to put a slap on your face. You must remember that there's no security when God is not out in the picture. What about provision? Providing, the third area. See that verse says, you rise in the morning. You see that verse? It tells us that even in the morning you rise so early. In verse 2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. Which means you work so hard. You wake up so early when everybody is asleep, and you go to sleep when the last person. And it goes on to say, even because you want to provide something there, even your provision and your survival, that area. All of these three central areas of human competence and self-reliance, and yet without God, they are all called vain. Vain. Think about it. They are vain. Did you notice that the word vain is repeated three times in that verse? In verse 1 and 2. Three times, the psalmist tells us that it is empty. It is vain. I'm sure you can agree with me. Three times we have the word vain. It reminds us that probably this psalm was written by Solomon. Or it was written for Solomon. Or it was written about Solomon. All those three, they are very much possible. Because Solomon is the one who actually introduces the idea of vanity and vanity. Everything is vanity. He uses the same words here three times in the area where you put much of your effort to think, now I am safe. You may be even the most powerful person in Zambia, like the president of the country, and you think now that I am safe. Just for those of you who are following the proceedings of our former president, who is already dead, and whatever money that he accumulated, Psalm 127 is reminding us how really everything comes to empty. Even authority. You meant to think that now I'm connected to powerful people in Zambia. You know, I'm a friend of Makebi Zulu. I have his number right now. I can even call him. Makebi, where are you? We begin to talk to each other. Then so that all of you can say, Wabusa watu are powerful. How come say Makebi? After all, he's Makebi. All these connections we may have in future and so forth, without God into picture, they collapse. They collapse. It's very sad, brothers and sisters. This is the reality of the world we are in. Three times our labor is in vain. Your work is in vain. You cannot build anything lasting without God. You can't. You can't, I can't build anything lasting without God. And then that's why three times the psalmist tells us it is in vain, it is empty. When you stay awake, you know, so early, and then you go and the last person to sleep, you wake extremely hard. You have no time even to rest. The psalmist tells us you cannot secure anything lasting without God. You can't. You cannot secure your family, the future of your children. You can't. I can't secure the future of Christ Church Lusaka. I can't. I can't without God into the picture. This is a reminder. You boast about many children you have. They won't last. You regret even how you bring them into the world. If God is into the picture, instead of them bringing joy, they will bring you so much suffering. So much suffering. Why are we regretting the society we have? It's a society, the children we find on the street. These children we find on the street, they make life very difficult. They belong to some people. They come from some families that are broken. Instead of them becoming a blessing to the society, they are a curse to the Zambian society. You have your children, and you begin to regret, where is your child? Where is my project and everything? Even Christ Church Lusaka right now, you begin to put in so much that you think everything revolves around you, the rector. Psalm 27 reminds us, it is in vain. It is in vain. It is in vain. Your provision of survival, it is in vain. You cannot even feed yourself apart from the grace of God. You cannot even put the food on the table apart from God's grace. That's why Psalm 107 does not deliberately repeat the words in vain three times. Because we tend, why three times? Because a human being always thinks that it's all about me. My effort, my connections, my knowledge, and everything I do. My education and my connections. But some tells us, it's not about your PhD. Now that I come from GWC, now that I come and now I've got a PhD, everyone is calling me doctor. Now this is going to secure my lasting ministry. No, it's not about my doctorate. It's not about my PhD. It's not about my knowledge. It's not about my connections. It's about God into the picture. As I make travels here and there outside of Zambia, I make connections with brothers and sisters, which is good. Which is good. I don't have to think now Christ Church Lusaka is going to be safe because I've made these connections everywhere I go. No. Or maybe because there's this brother and this sister as members of my church. These are powerful people, and then I'm going to secure a powerful ministry. No. It is in vain. The psalmist is saying, if God is not at the center of your work, your security, even your survival strategies are empty. Whatever strategies you put in place to survive, they are all empty. They are in vain. Three times the word in vain is literally hammering, striking the same truth three times. Three times. Without God, every dimension of human effort collapses. Don't be deceived. When you join a university like Zambia, like our UNSA, or maybe any university that is very liberal, and you meet these professors, they begin to tell you that forget about God. God is an illusion. God is just, there's nothing like God. And then you believe such a lie. You tend to think you can run your life without God. Psalm 127 reminds you three times to say you are deceiving yourself. You will collapse completely. You will never go very far. Without God, every dimension of human effort collapses. It dismantles the illusion of self-sufficiency and prepares our hearts to receive the truth. And this is the truth that we need to receive, that all lasting fruits, whether work, whether rest, whether family, comes only by God's gracious gift. Like a phone, you have a phone with, like a phone separated from its power source. You know, activities of that phone will just continue briefly, but in the end is very inevitable. It will go off. Cut off from God, brothers and sisters, human labor has no enduring fuel. There's no fuel. Where are we going to go? That's why whatever we plan for next year, 2026, whatever you are trying to plan, a planning without prayer is a first step of futility. You want to plan for the future of your children, for the labor and the ministry, let us plan as we go back to depend on God. Remember what Jesus says? He says in John chapter 15, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a reminder. He is a true builder of God's house. The second thing, which is the last one, which I want us to observe, not the last one, in this verse, under the vanity of self-reliance, it's a surprise. Did you see that in verse 2? That the futility of anxious toil. It's not bad to work, to toil and work very hard, but when you begin to work anxiously with a lot of worries, that's what the Bible condemns. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2, the way it says, behold, verse 2, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating what? The bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. So now the psalm moves from construction to consumption, from what we build to what we eat. It tells us what he calls the bread of anxious toil. The bread eaten with fear. The bread that you eat with a lot of worries about your future. You put something on the table, but you're worried. How is your life going to look like tomorrow? You have a lot of fears of tomorrow and the future. That's what the Bible is calling the bread of anxious toil. Not all bread is equal. Not all bread that we eat is equal. Some bread are very soaked into worries. The things you eat, the things you put on the table, they are soaked into a lot of worries. What is my life going to look like tomorrow? You have a lot of fears. You are worried and so forth and so on. You see, but there's a surprising reversal, and I like this verse, which for me is a comforting truth. Did you see that? God not only blesses our work, he also blesses our rest. Did you see that? See that in your Bible once again. In the end of verse 2, he says, he gives to his beloved sleep. Wow. Who does that? God gives his beloved, he gives them sleep. Which means God does not only bless our work, but he also blesses our rest. He gives to his beloved sleep. What is the meaning of it? So it means that it's not just about working extremely hard. The Lord gives us sleep as a gift. When you have time to sleep, sleep. I have my own struggles, but I always thank God for sleeping. Sinema vutika kugona. But the problem is I'm a snorer, and my wife is always in trouble. Wazungu waliko bwino. White people are okay when the husband is too much or the other partner is a very powerful snorer. They can agree to stay in Zambogona. I will be sleeping in another room. It's not going to be a problem. In Africa, you have to see there. The moment you decide to go into another room, chipata, all of them. You know what I'm talking about. Bazulu is nice. So my wife would always like to go and sleep first because she knows that I don't struggle sleeping. It's a gift God has given me. Nikaenda chepangono kwa sila. And she knows when I'm pretending to sleep and when I've gone. She knows. It's just 2 seconds. She always says, no, God has blessed with sleep. 2 seconds, you'll hear vroom, 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 like a truck. Not even like a small canter, like a tractor. Sometimes you may wonder, you muntazau kama hilo. Ah, azau katakula nai. You suffer. You know, sleeping is a gift. Not everyone has time to sleep. God gives people sleep. He blesses us with sleep because, you know why he blesses us with sleep? Because he knows that life does not always depend on our work. Think about it. It's not just about extremely working. The Lord comes in and he grants you a gift and say, Mwana wanga, pumula. Sleep. It's not all about you. It depends on me. Don't work to the point where you deny yourself to sleep. Michael always advises me to say, rest. Doc, you must rest. You must rest. You know, when you don't rest, somehow it's lack of trust in God. Because you tend to think it's all about you. It's all about my work. It's all about what I do. No. The Lord surprises us in as much as we work very hard. Our children rebel. But what's wrong? You do a lot of work, and so God surprises to say, it's not just about extremely working hard. Sleep, I give you rest as a gift. But I like the way some commentators have put it very clearly to say the implication here is that the Lord does not only gives us sleep as a gift, but you know what he does? He gives us success or fruitfulness while we are asleep. Think about it. You are a farmer, you work very hard, and then as you go to sleep, you don't know what the Lord is doing now. God begins now to give you success when you are not doing anything. My sister Lillian, as we were coming from home to church, I was already beginning to think about Sister So-and-so. She's not coming to church nowadays, Sister So-and-so. And she just reminded me to say, Pastor, muzafutike maningi ni wantu wa mulungu waje. Mulungu mino akazawa leta. I said, you've just said something that I'm going to preach on today. Because there are people sometimes, I know, they are here today. There are people that sometimes I give a call every Friday, every Saturday. Musalove ku church walova. Musalove ku church. The day I just forget about it, they come to church. You know what the Lord is teaching me? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about what God does. Sometimes we see in charge mlungwini kazachi. You work very hard. This is what Martin, my bishop, always advises me to say. Sometimes, Paul, you don't need to worry about the church because it's not your church. You did not die on the cross for it. Church. Go sleep. He begins to work. The Lord himself goes now, begins to work in people's life and so forth and so on. God surprises us with so much, isn't it? This is the truth. The Lord works wonders even when we are resting. You know, work very hard, but trust in God. Don't work to the point where you begin to overthink. You spoil even your health. I know what I'm talking about. Some people are very depressed because of so much work and fear. Sometimes just sleep and live in the hands of the Lord. The Lord is working in our hearts. He is working. He working in our children. He's working in everything we do. He works success even when we rest in him. So rest and sleep is not lack of faith. It is faith in God who is busy doing his own work. We trust God who is going to do his work. Don't overthink. Don't stress yourself too much. Don't actually be depressed. Those of you already 50, don't depress too much. Otherwise, develop stroke. Just put everything in the hands of the Lord. The Lord is at work. This is very comforting, isn't it? Very comforting, brothers and sisters. Sometimes I begin to think we have leaders. They think, how am I going to work with Felix? How am I going to work with Zulu? All these guys, I need them, dear Lord, by me. So that we work and build this church together. Sometimes you try some of them, some of the things they work, some they don't work. At the end of the day, Psalm 127 comes in and says, sleep and rest and leave Felix with me and leave Titus with me and leave everyone with me. And the Lord begins to work in people's hearts in a way that is very, very powerful. Jesus slept in the storm. Trusting in his Father. His rest rebukes an anxiety of the mortal trust. He rested in God. Even when there was a turmoil, there was a tempest, but Jesus was actually resting in God. Even when you are living in this world full of anxieties, full of so many challenges, at some point you work there, at some point just trust God. Leave a result in the hands of God. I was telling Brother Tifit and saying, you know, when we are late of about 30 minutes in our service. We started at 9:30. When we are late, everything else in the program should go as you plan, except the sermon. The sermon should be reduced. That's what I want to do now. For the sake of peace. Because I know someone is already telling me that she's doing a good job. She's been helping me to be a preacher who preaches shortly. Second point. Let's start with the second point. The blessing of God's reliance. In verse 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, they warn that independence breeds emptiness. Verses 3 and 5 show that dependence on God brings unexpected blessing. Not necessarily where the world looks for it. Because when you're looking for success, you look for all these other areas of work, of labor. But we are surprised in Psalm 107 that God is going to bless us through the blessings of children. Look at verse 3 and 5. Behold, they say, pay attention. The psalm calls us to wonder. After all the human energy, verse 1 and 2, God now points not to buildings, not to careers, not to anything else. But you know where God now goes? To children. Children. This sudden shift is deliberate. What we often treat as ordinary, because having children, we treat it as just an ordinary thing. The moment you have a couple, husband and wife, it's just ordinary to have children. You begin to bring children. We may teach this. This is just, or sometimes we may tend to think they are inconvenience. These children, they are just inconvenient, or they are just secondary. But this is not how Psalm 127, you know, understand the theology of the children God has given us. God elevate these children. They are not just the children God has given you, the child you have. She's not an inconvenience to you or an ordinary. You know what the Bible calls them? Heritage. They're the heritage. God's gift of heritage in verse 3. Children, no matter how many you have, there may be three, two, or three, they are a heritage in singular. One heritage. And this is important. The collective blessing is one covenant gift, not individual trophies or personal achievements. It's a heritage. It's a gift God has given us. The children God has given us, they are not our personal achievements. No, you may have two, three, or four, or five. They are just one covenant gift because God is pushing his people. Blessed are those children who are born in the covenantal family of the people of God. Because those children will be a blessing to the society. And that's one of the reasons why God blesses marriage. It is because God wants children to be born in the bond of that, not outside, in the bond of that covenantal relationship. So that these children may become a blessing to the society. They are a heritage. They are a gift from God. God has gifted us with these children and we rejoice in them. And it's very important to understand that the Bible uses children in plural, but the predicate is actually singular. Children, no matter how many you have, they are just a blessing, a heritage from God. They are just a reward from God. And this is important. You know why? Because God has got so many blessings that he may actually give to a couple. And children are just one category of those blessings. Some couples, God may not give them children, but doesn't mean that he has denied them from all heritage or all blessings. Some, they have so many blessings God has given. It's just one category. They belong to this gracious gift. God gives rather than standing as a definite blessing of marriage. He's the one who gives. He's the one who gives children. The absence of the definite article of God, the Bible does not say children are the heritage. They are just a blessing, heritage. Because among so many blessings, children are one of them. When you have children, it doesn't mean that you have exclusive blessing from God. You only have a blessing from God. Because there are so many. blessings that the Lord will actually bless. God may not even give you children, but he blesses you with so many, many other blessings. Even spiritual children, you can have impact on them. And this is very important. Children are a gift, a gracious gift. They are real, they are precious, they are covenantal. You must celebrate them. Yet they are not the sum total of God's generosity to married couples. I pray that those couples who are here, that God may bless you with children. But if he doesn't give you children, you can still have so many other areas of influence. So many areas of influence. So this protects the dignity of childless couples. Because in Africa, you know, the moment you get married, you know, extended families in Africa, they begin to interfere. And they don't even take time. Sometimes they take even a month or two. They don't take long time to come and begin to ask questions. Mukazi wako alibwanje. Alibwino. We don't see anything. What do you want to see? These uncles will come. They want to see whether mukazi wako ambakudzi yako vibuyu na vichani and so forth and so on. Say now you mamuna sevens. When they don't see all those things, they will come and ask questions. You know, something is wrong with you. That's Africa. We tend to think like that. God may give you areas of influence even when he doesn't bless you with physical children. Some of us, we can have influence even the children who are not our biological children. We have a couple there, the Watsons. They've extended adoption to a child who is now theirs. And think like that. You may have influence on the children of your brother. You may have a positive impact on the children of the neighbors around, so that we can expand the blessings of God somewhere. This is very, very crucial. Spiritual children God may bless us with, or many ministry influence, wisdom, and hospitality. You can all do all the things. This is important. It is what we call kingdom impact in our lives. It's important to talk about these things, especially in Africa, because that's what we tend to think most of the time, that children are everything. They are a blessing from God. And it is a blessing, especially when they are born within the covenantal sphere of marriage. Sometimes some couples may be, you know, infertile. Infertility is not a failure. You know, it's not a judgment. You know, we've got so many godly couples in the Bible who did not have many children, and yet they made a lot of impact in the life. So that's what we need to do in our lives. And the last thing here we see is God's gift of strength. God gives us strength. Look at verse 4 and 5. Children are compared to arrows. They are arrows, an image of future defense. Wow. Because when you've got so many arrows, you know, you put them in there. So as you walk, you begin to think that in the future, I'll be able to defend myself. Because there are so many of them. And here the Bible does not just talk about your own biological children. It's talking about legacy. It's talking about the future of what we invest in people. So what Psalm 127 is telling us is saying that the wisest investment we could ever make is when we invest in people. That's what it's talking about. You may invest in your buses, you write there, you know, Zulu's investment. Three or four buses coming from Matero or somewhere, investment. Sometimes we put our money and energies in things that will never last. But Psalm 127 is reminding us that the wisest investment is when we begin to invest in human beings, in people. Not only biological children God has given, the influence you put in people, that is going to be like arrows. They're like arrows because the future is going to be safe. If we invest so much in our children, so much in the people around us, you are an influencer wherever you go. Positively, you influence people around. Be kind with the people around you. Be kind with the neighbors around you. The people the Lord has brought on your path, just be a blessing to them, because those are like arrows in the future. Christ Church Lusaka, God has blessed us with people who have come on my path. I pray that God, these should be the people into which I invest much of myself, because the future will be safe. Look at where the Zambian society is going. If we don't invest much in our children, then something wrong is going to happen. Look at the rise of HIV and AIDS in Zambia. The rise of HIV and AIDS has gone into our children. I'm sure you've seen the result. You saw the statistics more recently. It's the young girls. Young girls who are school girls are now on the top in Zambia. Where are we going? What are we doing as churches? But we are busy praying and fasting. We are busy doing crossovers and so forth and so on. Investing in ourselves. We must go to the scriptures, invest in the people so that we can secure the future. Because children, they are just like arrows that we keep so much that in the future we will be able to sharpen them. They are very well sharpened that they will be able to secure the positive future as we go on. That's why at Christchurch Lusaka, we believe in the word of God. Because the scriptures are the ones that are shaping our children, shaping our daughters so that they may become our arrows in the future. They are not just talking about my biological children. Let us invest in people. Spend your money, spend your time, spend your energy in the people around you. The future defense, the legacy, the continuance, the covenantal mission. Tomorrow I'm not going to be here. I'm not here to stay. That's the problem of Africa. When once you occupy an office, you think you are an eternal person there. You are not. You'll die tomorrow. Death is going to come. You are a rector of Christchurch Lusaka. Tomorrow you're not going to be there. What are you doing in investing in people? Even our political parties, we don't invest. Once you become a political party, president or whatever, you forget about legacy. You forget about arrows that you can put for the future. Covenant mission we have, brothers and sisters. Let us invest in our children. We have so much respect on the children ministry in Zambia so that we can secure the future of where we are going. See what the Bible says? Even at the gates, have a look at that verse. You have in the last verse here, when he speaks with his enemies at the gate, verse 5, he shall not be put to shame. The one has got so many children. Who fills his quiver with them? He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Even when we face the most dangerous situations in life, because we've invested so much in people, we're not going to be put to shame. Legacy is important. Shame on our leaders in Africa. Shame on our leaders in our churches. Unfortunately, the disease that we see in our political leaders has gone into church. You are a pastor, you are a pastor of that. You don't take much time to invest in the future of that congregation. You become a demigod. You've got a small god. Everybody's talking about you. Dr. Kayumba, Dr. Kayumba. You forget that tomorrow you won't be there. Let us invest in people for the legacy. Think of a Christian teacher. If you're a Christian teacher, you are shaping young believers. You know, when you are shaping young believers, you are making so many arrows. Those of you who are into children ministry, if you are a teacher in school, like Brother Felix, you're a teacher in school, God has given you opportunity to meet with these children you meet. Those are your arrows that you begin to shape and put them together. You don't waste that opportunity God has given you. Don't just think of your biological children. Think of the people God has brought on your path and shape them in such a way that they will be able to defend the society as we move on. Because otherwise, these universities we have in Zambia, they will collapse with our children. They will all be lost because education is getting worse and worse where God is being removed out of the picture. Let us work hard. Put them as, because we will be able to stand. Let me conclude, because my friend has already told me that it's time to conclude. This short psalm that we see, Psalm 127, exposes the illusion of control and calls us back to humble, restful, and trusting obedience. The builder, those who are building, God alone establishes what lasts. Those of you who are building a society, building a community, building a ministry, whatever we build, we are reminded this morning that God alone establishes what lasts. That's what we saw in Psalm 90. God established the work of our hands. Established the work of our hands. We work very hard at Christchurch Lusaka. We work on the order of service. We preach. We go into so many trainings of preaching and so forth and so on. By the end of the day, God established the work of our hands. It is God. In as much as you take your degrees and so forth, the first degree, the second degree, you go up to PhD. At the end of the day, the builders, it is about God. The watchman, God alone protects what stands. The giver, God alone multiplies what endures. Now I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, work hard. Work very hard, but rest well. As you work very hard, diligently, rest well. Trust deeply in God. Build with prayer. As we build, let us trust in God. Next year, 2026, all of us, we've got so many projects. As we are building our families, our homes and everything, let us build with prayer. Let us guard our faith, guard everything with faith in God. As you're trying to protect your children in anyhow, put your faith in God, because where your children go and play around, you are not always there. You are not always there. As you try by all means to protect them, but have faith in God. Receive with gratitude. The good life is not self-made. No, it is God-given. And Christ is the builder of a house that can never fail. May God help Christchurch Lusaka. As we strive together and work together, all of us and families are here, all of you are builders of societies. May God help us together so that we can work diligently, but we rest well in God, trusting that God is going to build us. Amen.